Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. And I'll tell you what, today is going to be a special show because Coach K is going to be on location at a big basketball tournament that's going on in Jasper at the Cabby O'Neill Gym. We've got legends of Jasper basketball that are planning on being there in attendance playing, and hopefully Coach can grab a few of them. But Coach, are you there yet? Are you walking into the gym? Are you?
No, Joe. I'm still in the car. I do not want to lie to anyone. We're going in to rekindle what we've played for decades. Turkey bowl hoops, pick up basketball. There'll be some guys. I don't know if anybody is a legend. So, folks, Joe and his hyperbole and everything else that's going on. It is Turkey Day hoops, though, Joe. It is Turkey Day hoops.
Well, you know, you've got John Bots Magic Bodorf. You've got Jason Albrand. You've got Jared Brosmer, not only a great basketball and baseball player for Jasper, great chiropractor, but also an advertiser in Jasper Today. So I feel obligated to call Jared Brosmer a legend.
Well, you do whatever you have to do for your pocketbook, Joe. I'm just going to be honest with the people. I mean, we're going to chuck some up and hope they go in. We'll just see what happens. But it's going to be a great show. Besides me coming in and out, we've got Mike DeCourcy coming on to talk a little bit about the number two ranked 1A Barrie Vikings. They had a game, a tough game with the Washington Hatchets to start Hoosier Hysteria, the 2014-15 season. We'll talk a little Jasper Harrison. We'll talk some Pike Central Northeast Du Bois with Kirk Duxell. And, folks, tons of Thanksgiving tradition. Football yesterday, the Bears were the turkey on the field, Joe, along with the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, it's rivalry weekend in college football. It's hoops tourneys, college hoops tourneys all over vacation land, the Bahamas, Jamaica, Florida, you name it, Hawaii, it's going on. So, Joe, we've got a packed show plus a huffing and puffing Coach K, who will be running up and down the floor a little bit as well.
I just don't know if you're going to be able to talk as much as usual because I don't know. You know, you've got some young guys there. They're going to test your legs. And I still feel like, though, that your team has the advantage because you've got the young legs involved. And Scott Reese, I think he still looks like he's 18 and plays like he's 18. So, you know, you've got the advantage. I'm calling you guys the favorites today. If Bots is listening, which I doubt it because he's probably working on that jump shot, you know, you guys have the advantage.
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. As I get ready to enter the gym, I appreciate you thinking we have the advantage. But honestly, it should be a lot of fun. As well as talking sports, you know, Joe, you know, we talk about it being Turkey Day, and I really, for you Chicago Bears fans, I mean, you got to feel like a traditional Thanksgiving, what an embarrassment for the Bears against the Detroit Lions, a team that really is not playing that well, and oh, what a bad conference and a bad team. And Jay Cutler's just got to wonder, can he turn this thing around?
Yeah, he's got to be wondering that. But, you know, he gets a lot of grief, but people got to realize what he's got around. You know, I don't know whether you got the cast around him to do the job. I know he's the whipping child. But, you know, being the quarterback, of course, that's, you know, being the pitcher, being the quarterback, being whatever, you know, you're always you know, I mean, can't be immune to being on you. Got to do it. So,
yeah. Well, you know,
Coach, you sound like you're. But it sounds like you're huffing and puffing, and you just got out of the car. So, are you going to make this 2 hours?
I'm in the gym right now. One of the games is already going, folks, and It looks like we've got some real studs out there, but believe me, I don't know if they are. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna have to mute here, Joe, and get myself ready to go out and play here in a minute. So you got to take over or go to break, one of the two. I see Jerry Brosmer out there. He's walking up and down the court already.
He's already walking, huh? Jeez.
Yeah, walking up and down.
I'll tell you what we will do is we've got some games that happen on Wednesday, so we'll go over those games locally and give people a little report on what's happened in Indiana high school basketball hoops here.
I'm muting you right now.
Okay. Some of the games we had locally that happened on Wednesday night is Bar Reeve took on Washington, the Battle of Daviess County. Bar Reeve came out on top 53-48, but it was in overtime, so it must have been a heck of a game and something that Mike DeCourcy will be able to tell us about when he joins us a little later. You have the Crawford County Wolfpack, 77, Forest Park 58 for County Wolfpack. Not so much for the Forest Park Rangers. And in Evansville teams, you had Evansville Central coming out on top 65-57 over North Posey. Evansville Harrison 83-72 over Jasper. I was at that game, and you know Evansville Harrison, there's just too much Duncan's there to overcome. Jasper kept trying to make a comeback, and it seemed like every time they did, a Duncan decided, no, you're not coming back. I'm going to take over the game. One of the teams in Jasper sectional, you know, a lot of people have been talking about that they've really got a nice unit this year, Pike Central. Pike Central opened up their season against Northeast Dubois on Wednesday night, and they came out on top 78-53. And we have Salem 75, West Washington 53, Scottsburg 73, Austin 61. We have South Knox 84, Sullivan 60. I've heard some good things about South Knox. I think they're going to have a nice year this year, and it's going to be a great year for them. And then also you had the Vincennes and Lincoln Alice's beating Northview 61-43. I heard some crowd noise there. There must be a large crowd at the Cabby O'Neill gym today. And hopefully we get to talk to some of the celebrities that are there.
Joe, we got about 16 guys here pooping it up on Turkey Bowl. And I got to tell you, the pace of this game reminds me of the Lugodi old days going into the four corner of the 3-hour. And the pace of the game.
Coach, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry about that, Joe. It's probably because I'm walking up and down the stairs, so I apologize for that. You got me? Am I still on?
Yeah, I've got you now. There you go.
Well, I was going to say that the pace of this game reminds me of the old Lugodi Lions four-corner and walking the ball up the court, keeping control. So it's interesting. Interesting to watch.
Well, do you remember? I remember one Christmas where we played, and I don't remember who taped the game, but we went back to your house afterwards, your mom and dad's house, and we all watched it, and we were amazed at just how slow the game was because we all felt like it was a fast-paced game, but it was a slow, boring game, and wondering if this one is kind of taking over after that one.
Hey, I just was watching some of these games. You were brought up some of the scores. I didn't get to see Jasper and Harrison, but I will say this. For a first game out, both teams scored a lot of points. So when you're talking about 83-72, that's a lot of points. And I was even thinking about Jasper starting out with 72 points in a losing effort. I think there's only been three or four times in the last 20 years that Jasper has started out in a game scoring that many points. That's a lot of points for a first time out.
Yeah, they played a nice game, but there was just too much Duncan, you know. And when I say too much Duncan, it seemed like there were five Duncans sometimes on the floor. I don't think there were, but you know, they're just the twins. Their first names escaped me. They just, every time Jasper made a run, one of those two made a statement and you know, put the lead back out to 10. you know, Jasper would cut it to 4 or 5, and it just constantly happened like that. Now, I'll tell you what, Coach, one thing I want to talk to you about, though, is apparently there's some new hand-checking rules and all that, and the game was very boring to watch, as a matter of fact, though, there for a while, because it seemed like the game never went 5 seconds without a flop foul being called, and it was a very slow-moving game. The game was a very long game, actually, too, because of all the fouls that were called.
Well, the interesting thing about those new rules is, remember, our first couple weeks of the season, they're trying to make this game a little bit more about skill and not just about physical play. And so you're going to see that in the first couple weeks. The officials are really going to focus on the new emphasis rules, and the hand check is going to be a part of that. So you're going to see games where you have a lot more fouls. We saw that in college basketball a couple years ago. We saw it in the pro game a little bit in the last year or so. But we're going to see what happens. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think when both teams have to play more with their skill, it lends itself to a better basketball game than just physical play.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Coach, why don't you go over some of the other games that happened on Wednesday night? I'm going to go and get our first guest real fast.
Okay, we'll do that. Hey, folks, it's been Hoosier Hysteria in Indiana High School basketball. Not that football's it's not over yet. We've got the state football playoffs coming up this weekend. Of course, there'll be five classes that play there, and that'll be taking place at Lucas Oil Stadium. But Indiana is a basketball state, especially a high school basketball state, and there's no doubt about the fact that Indiana High School basketball has started. Harrison and Jasper kicked it off for one. There was also an outstanding game up at Washington High School in Davis County. The Washington Hatchets took on 1A's number 2 ranked Barre Vikings, the runner-up in 1A last year. That was a great game, and we'll be talking with Mike DeCourcy of WAMW later in the show. He's the play-by-play man for the Barre Vikings. He'll be able to tell us a little bit more about that game. It was an overtime thriller. Another team in the southern part of the state that people are going to be maybe surprised with, I'm not. I knew they were going to be good, and that's the Pike Central Chargers. Solid core coming back, good young players. They started out with a big victory at home, 25-point win over Northeast Dubois, so that was big. Now, there were a few games around the state. There weren't a lot of games around the state. That'll kick off as we get into the coming weekend, not this weekend, but the first weekend of December, and we'll see all the high school teams. But I know the crowds were good, enthusiasm was up, and right now is an exciting time for sports. You've got the NBA, you've got college hoops, my gosh. You've got high school hoops, you've got college rivalry football going on. A lot of good things going on this weekend in sports. So we're going to get to those. Now, again, I'm on the road. I'm on location at the Cabby O'Neill Gym for pickup Turkey Day hoops. I know that's a little crazy, but I think I will do as well in my pickup game here in a few minutes as Tony Romo and Jay Cutler and Kaepernick did yesterday in their football games. Three quarterbacks that suffered through very poor outings. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll talk about IU and Purdue, USC, Notre Dame, Auburn, Alabama. Just a lot of great rivalry football games going on as well. But this first hour, we're going to be talking high school hoops. Kirk Duxell will be coming up here in just a few minutes with Joe Milligan, and they'll talk about the Northeast Dubois Pike Central game as well as what Southridge fans can look forward to with Southridge hoops as well. So,
hey, Coach, I'm back, and you know, give us a little rundown. Who's on fire? Who's not on fire at this Turkey Bowl game?
You know what? I want to say that Jasper assistant Jason Albrand is running the floor as well as anybody, but I don't know if he's on fire. Former Southridge player Chad Clark looks good when he gets on the post, but he's really struggling getting up and down the court. I don't think anybody's on fire yet, Joe. I think I've got a great shot to be MVP if my shots are dropping. I'm glad there's no officials to handle the physical play.
My money on MVP of the day is either Matt or Josh Schulteis. I'm going with those two, and you can write it down. It's one of those two.
Right now, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. We'll have to see. I'm going to let you take it from here, Joe. I'm going to go down and get ready to play my first game.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll take our first break, and after the break, we'll have Kurt Guxell on to talk some high school hoops with us. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe show. What? What, Coach?
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. Coach K is live at the Cabby O'Neill Gym for the Turkey Bowl today. And we're hoping that he can come back on the show. Hopefully there's no health reasons that he might be able to, may not be able to make the rest of the show. But I do know he has been working out, and so hopefully he will join us back when the show continues. But first up here we have Kurt Guxell. He's a sports director at DC Broadcasting and play-by-play man for WBBC and WJTS Sports. And Kurt, what are the odds someone's going to get hurt today at the Turkey Bowl?
Yeah, there might be a possibility of that. Bunch of old-timers playing basketball. Anything can happen.
I mean, I think right now, you know, I don't know what the deal is, but even when Coach tells us he's going to get warmed up for the game, I'm already worried. I think he could hurt himself during warm-ups. I think the announcing that he could be the MVP today, I think is just not going to happen. He is 52 years old.
Yeah, that's bizarre. He should be back on our show.
Yeah, I think that Matt Schulteis or Josh Schulteis, Jared Brosmer or Scott Reese are my choices for MVP today. I don't know if Bott has the legs to do it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
But Kurt, let's talk some high school basketball. You know, we started the season on Wednesday night, and I'm not 100% sure that you did the Pike Center Du Bois game, did you? Kurt, are you with us? Hello. I think we have a bad connection. Kurt, are you with us? Hello.
I'm here.
Okay, there you are. There you are. Were you at what call did you have Wednesday night? Did you have a game?
I had Du Bois at Pike Central, down at Pike Central.
Du Bois Pike Central. Let's start with. I wanted to go over the Du Bois County team. Let's go over Du Bois first. Tell us a little bit about what Du Bois has coming back this season.
Well, they lost 34 points last year in Kinker and Haas, and I think they missed those guys more in the first game than maybe they will later on in the season. But it was a tough night for the Jeeps, but everybody tried for a while before they get used to not playing with those guys and try to replace all that scoring that they had. But they just want to get better as the season progresses and get ready for the tournament.
Now, you know, Pike Central, they're not a DuBois County team, but they are a local team, and, you know, they're led by new coach Jason Roach. He came out of Evansville Harrison? Was that where he came from? Or Boston?
Yeah, Boston, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit about the game between the Northeast DuBois Jeeps and the Pike Central Chargers.
Well, the Jeeps got down 9-0 early, and they were trying to play catch-up, you know, since that time, and they just couldn't do it. They just didn't have enough firepower. Pike Central, you know, they're okay. I need to see them play against better teams to see if they're going to rival the 86 Celtics. But, yeah, they're a pretty good team.
And we also had we had three teams from DuBois County in action on Wednesday night. County defeated the Forest Park Rangers 77-58. Now, does that score tell us Crawford County's got a strong team this year, or is Forest Park not quite where they have been in the past?
Yeah, Crawford's got a really good team. They returned several good scorers from last year. Forest Park looking to replace a Joel Wire, one of their top scorers, and Jeff Litherland told me before the game down there that that was going to be a really tough game, and it is the start of the season. Anytime you go on the road against a program like Crawford County, it's going to be tough. His guys just have nice things in that ball game, and Ben Engler had a big ball game. David Lusk had a big ball game. They're looking for a really good season later on down the line too. But these first games, I mean, I don't care who you're talking about. And we'll talk about Jasper too. It's going to be tough here in the early going because a lot of our teams are playing good teams right off the bat.
Kurt, you with us still? I think we've got a bad connection. Yeah, there you are. There you are. And you know, you mentioned Jasper. You know, Jasper opened up against Harrison. You know, they had a 83-72 loss to the Evansville Harrisons. But I was at that game, and the one thing I saw is every time Jasper made a run, there was a Duncan there to make a statement and show who the team was, the better team was at least that night.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup right off the bat to try to grab a hold of because Harrison, they return a lot of guys, especially all those Duncans that are really good players, and Jasper's going to be really good too. But John, you know, said that this isn't the same team that we had at the end of last year. There's different dynamics, different things going, and it's going to take them a while to get going too, just like it took them a while to get going last year for the people to just think that they're going to roll the balls out and this is going to be a team that's going to win all the time. They'd be mistaken, but, you know, Jasper will get much, much better, and especially when they don't have to go up against a Harrison team in their next outing.
Yeah, you know, they do. They have a Mount Carmel next week, but then you know, but looking at their schedule, they got Memorial, Bedford, North Lawrence, then they got the DuBois County Tournament, Evansville Central, Pike Central, Vincennes, Washington, you know, Southridge. They've got a killer schedule to open the season, but then again, they've got a schedule that, you know, you've got Bar down the line, New Albany, Bar Reeve, Heritage Hills, Modern Day. I mean, DL Jasper doesn't play a slouch schedule.
No, and not this year especially. You look at the teams that they're playing and the ones you reeled off, they're all going to be good. There's going to be a lot of good basketball teams around because I think a lot of teams in the last couple of years played a lot of young people, and now those guys are getting older, getting more experienced, and plus with the way the coaches work with them, the competitive schedule for Jasper.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it looked like you know, it's going to take a little while. You know, one thing I noticed the other night, we had a lot of football players on the floor, and I know we've been out of, you know, done since the Rice game, but that, really and honestly, that wasn't that long ago. And I think that as those guys get their basketball legs underneath them and you know, get a little more in playing basketball, I think that Jasper will be fine this year.
No, there's no doubt about it. I'm looking for them to really hit their stride in the second half of the season and going to the tournament playing really well.
Now, you know, the team that you broadcast every game of theirs is the Southridge Raiders. You know, they're led by new coach Ted O'Brien. Of course, I had Thanksgiving with Ted O'Brien yesterday and got to talk a lot of Southridge basketball, and I do know he's dealing with the injury bug a little bit here to begin the season.
Yeah, they, of course, Connor Craig is out as well, and a good sophomore player, and Harry Speckler's out as well. He's suffered an injury over the summer playing, but, you know, they've got some nice pieces that they're going to plug in, and I think they're will benefit from them not having to play until December 6th. They made that change in their schedule a few years ago because they've had all the football success that they've had, and I think teams that start later are fresher later on in the season when you can start later and you're ready to go, you know, later on, so they'll be okay. You know, they'll get
some of the
pieces back.
Who are some of the returning players for Southridge that aren't hurt at the time, present time?
Well, Cam O'Brien will be a two-guard for them. Played a lot last year. He was in the starting lineup last year. They also returned a couple of really good wings, and Evan Julian, 6'4", 6'5", long arms, and really really good perimeter shooter. Also Jonathan Shum, same type of height, same type of game, that 3.5, 4 type of person, you know, doing a lot of different things. Henry Steckle back. He's a junior. He's another post player for him. And New will run the point a little bit and try to, study that team and do what Ted wants him to add on the court as an extension of him. But, they've got some nice pieces.
Now, Kurt, we have a bad connection again. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks, but, you know, that's the deal is when you're doing a show on the phone, sometimes you have problems. Kurt, are you with us again?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You know, last team I wanted to touch on, and I know our good friend Steve Cole would be able to tell us more about them, but, you know, looking at the sectional, you know, Heritage Hills, they did lose some players, but they have some pieces of the puzzle back again this season.
They do. They lost quite a bit from last year, but they returned a lot of different players that are very good. Gavin Schaefer, very good player for them. Returns also Sable House, Sam Collins, who had a good football season, he returns. And they'll need to, you know, place their point guard, Sam Sherry. But I think Matt's very excited about what they've got going on down there.
Okay, and let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk some college basketball for a second. I did not get to see the IU versus Eastern Washington game, but what's your opinion on the Hoosiers as they stand at this point in the season?
Well, they're a very young team, and they're having trouble stopping the basketball and trying to play good defense, and they're without factor in the post. If Perea can't play well, then they're stuck. Without Devin Davis, who suffered that injury in that car mishap. And right now they're having really bad problems playing defense. And it's no excuse to get beat by Eastern. You shouldn't be getting beat by Eastern Washington at home, but they're an NCAA tournament type team. If you can't play defense, even, you know, in a game like that, it's going to be a struggle. You know, they've got good guards. You know, it was the opposite of last year. They had good post player and Vonleh. They didn't have anybody to shoot the ball from the outside. But this year they've got good guards that can shoot the basketball. But now they have no inside play. So, you know, that's tough to get around, especially in a league like the Big Ten or a situation when you play good teams. So they're going to be a work in progress. And, you know, they're going to be a team. They beat SMU. They had no business probably beating SMU. They win that game, but then they lose a game like Eastern Washington. They had no business losing. So it's going to be one of those type of deals. They're going to beat people you don't think they're going to beat, but then they'll lose to some teams you don't think they're going to lose to. And, you know, people need to not get excited on a game-by-game basis either way because it'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, and did you get a chance to watch Purdue at all in the Maui Classic? They had some nice showings. They showed that – I'm not sure that they're a top 25-type team yet, but – they showed that maybe there's a little more there than there has been in the past years.
Well, I like Purdue. You know, in their first ball game, you know, they didn't play with much effort and didn't play the way Coach Painter thought they might play with the new group that he's assembled. But I think they're going to be much improved. I mean, you know, if A.J. Hammonds doesn't want to play like sometimes he doesn't, they've got the Isaac Haas to come spell him. Not every team brings a seven-footer, you know, off the bench like he can play. And I was really impressed with him. He did a nice job, and he's done a nice job for them. Vince Edwards, their freshman. I mean, a 6'7 wing like that, he can get to the basket, he can score. Octius, the transfer from out west, he's going to be really good for them too. You know, an older guy that can, you know, kind of control some of the knuckleheaded behavior that they've had in West Lafayette the last few years. You know, not wanting to do things yeah. The Purdue way, you know, like the program was built on. So, you know, I like some of the people that they have assembled there, and part of it is because some of the other guys left. You know, one of these addition by subtraction type of things. I know you watch Purdue a little closer than I do, but that's the take I get from looking at them from the outside.
Yeah, the one thing I've been happy when I've watched Purdue, I've not seen any one-handed floaters in the lane just wildly thrown up there like the Johnson brothers were famous for, and I've been critical of them last year during the season and happy that I don't have to see that anymore. And the one thing I see about them this year is I felt like last year there were a couple players, and you're exactly right, addition by subtraction, was that people are playing for the team. I don't see anyone playing for themselves this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're starting to get back to what Purdue found under Coach Painter and how it was during Coach Katie's tenure. So, again, you know, I just expect them to just get better and better as the season progresses and see what happens at the end of the season.
And, you know, speaking of IU and Purdue, we've got the big bucket game. I'm calling it the Toilet Bowl because other than Coleman, I'm not sure, you know, what either team has. You know, the good thing for IU is they do have Coleman. But other than that, you know, things have not been real pretty for either team this year, and neither team is where they – well, I don't know. Purdue's probably where they think they were going to be just about. So, but, you know, IU losing their quarterback, that situation, that kind of put a damper on their season. But, you know, do you have any prediction for us on the old Oaken Bucket game?
No, I don't. Purdue, they didn't play very well last week. Indiana played. They were perhaps the surprise of the league, albeit in a loss. They were going with Ohio State toe-to-toe because of a guy like Coleman and the way he played. And, you know, Indiana's quarterback situation has been well-documented. It's been a mess. But the freshman, Diamont, he's played pretty well lately. I mean, from the first game he got thrown into against Michigan State, he's progressed. Is it enough to win and compete at a high Big Ten level? No, not even close. He's gotten a little better, and it's good that this game has a little something on it, the bucket and the pride thing, because if this was thrown in the middle of the season, it would just be awful. But I would hope both teams would come out and, you know, play for their school, play for, you know, the bucket and get after each other, because give your fans on both sides some hope, you know, and make it a nice football game. Again, Purdue, I mean, I thought they'd make a little bit of a jump, but I've told you and Kenny all the time, I don't care if it's fifth grade football, to high school, to college, if you don't have a quarterback can play, and quarterback can make plays, you're not going to be any good. We've seen that with Indiana. And Purdue, they're one of those teams, and for the life of me, they can never find a quarterback. And, or, you know, and recently here, been their problem. And, you know, we see it with Notre Dame. You know, they thought they had a quarterback. It's proved that he can't play either. And it came back to bite them in the butt. So hopefully for Purdue, for Indiana, they can get some quarterback play, whether it be tomorrow or down the line next year, to get those teams, you know, back on track.
Yeah, the thing that I get from I get on Golden Black Illustrated, I get on Pigs.com, I get on both of them, and the one thing that the Purdue people are asking is, how can Purdue not recruit a quarterback? And hopefully we've got, you know, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I mean, it's not as easy as I make it sound, you know, that you can just go out and get one and it's going to be easy to go get one. But somehow you got to find one. You've got to go out and, you know, if it takes extra time, if it takes extra effort, if it takes beating more bushes, and you got to find one. And I know that's part of the, you know, I know Purdue fans, that's what they want. And that's, you know, they've kind of been spoiled. They've had a few good ones in the past. So, that's the bottom line. I mean, again, that's the lifeblood. Recruiting's the lifeblood. And you turn on any of these time games, they got guys that can play quarterback. I mean, that's whether you're looking at this, you know, like last night, TCU had a guy that could play. You know, Alabama's got a guy that they bring along that can play, and Oregon, and any of the elite teams. I mean, Ohio State would be the team that they are if their backup quarterback didn't come in there and play well. I mean, they wouldn't have been where they are. Surprisingly, they got good play from their guy. It's turned out that he can play, and they've been better for it.
Yeah, the one thing also reading Pigs, you know, that, and, you know, I don't like to be an apologist for IU, but, you know, I got on Pigs right after Diamond's first game, and people were just all over him, and I wanted to, but I did not, post on there. The guy wasn't supposed to play this year. He's been thrown in a tough situation. Give him some time.
Well, right, and I think that frustration's just been boiled over for not being any good for the last several years, you know, and I don't care, you know, anybody would have probably got that rap, and I think they're more upset that they don't have anybody better ready to play, and that's, I mean, I don't like getting on coaches in any sport about in-game stuff because the players play or they don't, but sometimes systematically with a program, that is on the coach, and they've had guys, you know, transfer out. And, again, I don't really blame that on the coach because if you're not going to play, who wants to be around? I mean, no matter what level of sports you're on, if you're not playing, it's so fun to be around. But they had all the quarterbacks leave, and they were stuck with some injuries and had to put a guy that was fourth or fifth string into the lineup. So it's been frustrating for Indiana, especially when you have a guy like Coleman that is doing what he's doing without the benefit of having a passing attack, and that makes it even more special because defenses are loading up the line of scrimmage and he is just going off. But I think Indiana fans overall just frustrated with another dismal season.
And last thing I want to touch on is the IHSA football state championships are this weekend. Evansville Modern Day will be our local representative from this area in those championships, and you got a chance to see Evansville Modern Day play this year against Southridge, and they will be taking on Rensselaer Central, and a first timer to the state championships. And tell us a little bit about Evansville Modern Day and how you feel like their chances are in there to win a state championship.
I think they're very good. I think they're a really, really solid team. They brought their sophomore quarterback Wilderman Long throughout the season. And they've got two good running backs in Julian Widener and Drake Rickert. Those two guys are 1-2 punch. They've got a good defense. They've just held teams in check and a lot of good athletes. And this is a good, you know, this is a good team for Coach Gable. And hopefully they can represent Southern Indiana and get that victory. I mean, and like it usually is the case, some of their tougher games have been against teams from around here. I mean, Southridge, and they go back and forth in the first half of that game, and, you know, and they were better than Southridge. There's no doubt about it, but they had to play in that game, and they're very worthy of a state final appearance this year. I would expect them to get that victory today.
Well, Kurt, thanks for being with us today in our special Turkey Bowl edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. You know, I do know Ted and the Southridge Raiders don't open up till December 6th against at Cordon Central, but will you be doing any other games before that time?
Let's see. I have Southridge girls who are very good this year. They play Forest Park on Tuesday night. Forest Park off to a good start. That'll be good. And, again, yeah, next Saturday, Southridge goes to Cordon against a very good team. That's a team that's been added to their schedule. They've got player in Kessinger, Cameron Kessinger, Indiana State. So they'll have to deal with him right off the bat. So it'll be a tough one for Ted and the boys right off the bat in the beginning of the season.
Well, Kurt, thanks for being with us today.
No problem. Anytime.
And when we come back to the Coach K and Joe Show, we'll be talking to Mike DeCourcy, the voice of the Barrie Vikings. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. And we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. A great interview with Kurt Guksel highlighting the DuBois County boys basketball teams. Excited to get the season going. I was excited to go watch Jasper play on Wednesday night against Evansville Harrison. Wish it would have came out with Jasper on top, but it didn't. But we will go on to the next game, Mount Carmel, on December 6th. Joining us right now, we've got the voice of the Barrie Vikings, one of the powerhouses of Southern Indiana, Mike DeCourcy. Mike is a play-by-play man for WAMW 107.9 out of Washington. Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Right now, Coach K's not with us. He's at the Turkey Bowl playing. We're broadcasting live from there. I'm in studio. He's out there, so I'm not sure if he'll join us or not. And
life. I mean, I see the guy making noodles. He's making pies. I mean, man, it's just what a life.
Yeah, he's just living the life, you know. And I'm just hoping, though, that after today, something doesn't happen to him and from trying all that physical exertion, and it doesn't become just the Joe Show after today.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think at this point, Coach K, he's on pace to live to like 120. So, you know, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think so, too. And plus, you know, he's got Josh there with him today. I predicted that either Josh or his cousin Matt Schulteis will be the MVP coach. Kind of proclaimed that he thought he had a chance of being the MVP of the Turkey Bowl today, but I'm giving him 0% odds of that happening.
No, Josh is a machine. I'm 100%, you know, supporting the idea that Josh will, you know, grab the torch from his father today.
Well, let's go over the Barrie Vikings. Defending state runner up last season, had a great year, Just give us a little overview on what the Vikings have returning this season.
Well, Addison Wagler is a 6'5" senior, and he's one of those kids that you've maybe seen over the years where he's 6'5", but he plays, you know, 6'8", 6'9". He's just a wide load, 240 pounds, and just solid. He started virtually every game in his career. He's going to graduate probably as the school's all-time leading scorer. You'll probably see that he graduates as the winningest player in the history of Barrie, and everything kind of starts with him in the post. But one thing I've learned in high school basketball is if you've got somebody to throw it to and you've got somebody to throw it, you're going to be pretty good. And at the same time, we've got a point guard, Logan James, who is a junior, who's also started virtually every game his entire career. And the kid is, I mean, he is an unbelievable player. He's unbelievably intelligent. He's got all the tools. He has a great disposition on the floor. And, you know, when you start with those two guys who basically, you know, they'll both be four-year starters when it's all said and done, that's a pretty special – combination to begin with right off the bat, and then you throw in the starting lineup as well. We've got another 6'5 or 6'6 kid, Duncan Roy, who started on the state finalist team last year. Logan is joined in the backcourt by a 6'1 Chris Whitmer, who's played significant minutes since his sophomore year, started as a junior. So you've got four starters back from a state finalist team, and then a one-loss junior varsity team to kind of fill in those ancillary roles. It's got the ingredients of another big season are there, and but every season's different with injuries and playing time, and you don't know how that's going to shake out, but the pieces appear to be in place for another good run.
Now, you mentioned the Vikings have quite a bit of the pieces of the puzzle back. Who are some of the newcomers that you're expecting to contribute to Bar Reeve's season this year?
Well, the thing with Bar Reeve is outside fans will go, oh, there's that name again, and you'll hear people, and it's kind of the same, whether it's little brothers, whether it's cousins, but it's the same kind of families that are pumping talent through the system. But a lot of the kids that you're going to see this year, Connor Schwartzentruber is a kid who's going to be in and out of the starting lineup, I think, here early. If I had to make guesses, he started a lot of games this summer, came off the bench at Washington the other night, but he played, a role as a junior. We've got another Seth Schwartzentruber, who got the start against the Hatchets on Wednesday night at a guard position. His brothers have both been varsity players, and just a quick athletic guard that can really, really shoot the basketball. And then a name that a lot of will be familiar to a lot of area fans. There's a third, Dunshan, who is a senior, Ethan Dunshan. Of course, his brother Nick, a big-time Bar Reeve and a multiple-year starter at USI. And his brother Christian was a starting post player on the 2010 Vikings team that went to the state final. So Ethan is a senior, and I think you'll see those guys kind of mix and match, and whoever's playing better will get a start on that particular night, and it gives Coach Hughes a lot of options to be flexible, and we can go bigger, we can go smaller, and play a lot of different ways.
Now, Tony's a friend of mine. Are there any more Dungeons coming through the pipeline, or the Vikings done with it?
Well, yeah, they may be excommunicated from the community for not reproducing any more that they did. But no, unfortunately for Bar Reeve fans, Ethan is the final Dungeon. The chapter will be closed. I was talking to his mom just the other day, and she was saying, next year will be it's got to be an empty space. It'll be the first time since 2004 that they won't have a Bar Reeve game to go to, because of the kids playing on the weekends. They'll still be fans, but there won't be a Dungeon out there, so it's play out of that family.
Yes, it has. So on Wednesday night you opened up at Washington at the Hatchet House, 53-48 overtime victory for the Vikings. Can you give us a little overview on that game and tell us a little bit about the Washington Hatchets too?
Well, yeah, I was telling some of my Washington friends this morning. I remembered driving home from our sectional game last year, and I think everybody kind of understood, at least from where I sat, that at the Southridge sectional last year, you probably could have called Heritage Hills and Jasper the co-favorites. At least that's how I saw it, just from afar a little bit. And driving home from our game, Washington had, they almost had Heritage Hills beat. They had them on the ropes. Heritage Hills got a 3-point play late, and just survived. And then of course Jasper got it the next night. But listening to the Hatchets on the way home, they had two freshmen and three sophomores on the floor, and they had the sectional co-favorite. It was a standing eight count. And I thought, man, that's going to be a team that's obviously. I coached the junior high at Bar Reeve too, and I've seen it coming, but they've got great guard play. Of course, you got one of the very best of all, with Gene Miller on the sideline, who's won, 600 and almost 50 games, and they made some tough shots, but as far as the game the other night, we, being Bar Reeve, had a great start a quick 7-0 first right at the beginning, and then Washington just kind of they started making tough shots and narrowed the gap. And you know, I don't want to be in the business of making any excuses, but you know, in our post game show, the Whitmer kid who's been basically a 3-year starter for us, Coach Hughes called him the best. You know, he's the best on-ball defender that he's had in 30 years of coaching. He sprained an ankle in the first quarter, went back and got some treatment, came back the last 2 minutes of the second and was just dragging it around and then set the rest of the game. Well, you know, his assignment was going to be on the very excellent Washington junior Colton Garland. And Garland, you know, finished with 16 for Washington. And it seemed like, you know, he just made a bunch of tough shots there in the middle to keep Washington within striking distance, and the Hatchets actually had took a 4-point lead with 4 minutes to go. It was 48-44, and that's when, you know, the Vikings just kind of locked in on the defensive end of the floor, you know, the big guy that we talked about, Addison Wagler, got two baskets in the post to tie it, you know, went to overtime and just kind of held on, but, you know, including regulation and overtime, Mar Reed held Washington scoreless the last 7 minutes of the game. And I know Coach Miller in his post game, you know, mentioned that patience and working the ball and having good possessions, you know, got him to that point. And then when they finally got there, it was, you know, they shot quickly a few times, and he wasn't happy with that at all. But you know, you also saw Barry really, really lock in on the defensive end of the floor as well.
Now, the next game is December 3rd against the Pike Central Chargers. And, you know, Pike Central, they were a 78-53 winner over Northeast Dubois on Wednesday night. It's going to be a nice matchup for the Barry Vikings.
Yeah, you know, being a junior high coach, I think one of the things that I'm able to, you know, maybe provide a little bit is the fact that, you know, I can kind of see where talent's coming and who's going to be good. And, you know, several years ago, I started telling people, I said, listen, Jasper is going to be really good, you know, for in just a couple of years. And of course, here they are. They won the sectional last year. And I would probably put them in that driver's seat again this year. And people always say, well, who are a couple of teams that are going to be really good, you know, in 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years that would really surprise you? And I was, you know, I would tell people, come out of my mouth, and it almost, you know, surprised a lot of people, but Pike Central is going to be really, really good. And Wood Memorial is going to be really, really good. And, you know, they both had multiple classes with good players that have had lots of success. You know, they've got some size, they're skilled, and it's you know, both of those schools. And Pike Central, I think, you know, I think they finished with 7 wins last year. That was the most that they had had in probably almost a decade. And, you know, at least from where I sit, I could see them doubling that total. I mean, I really could with the right discipline on offense. And if things, you know, if the ball bounces correctly, and I think Pike can be a contender, and it'll be a great, you know, early season matchup to kind of see where we're at. See if we can bounce back after that Washington win and back it up with a win over what I will see as an improving Pike Central team.
Now, after Pike Central, I looking at your schedule, there are a couple of special games. You go to Southport to play Marquette Catholic, and then you also, on December 20th, you go to Evansville-Bossy to play Altoff Catholic. And do you know much about those two schools and what they might offer the Vikings as far as competition?
Well, yeah. You know, Marquette, obviously that's done for a very specific reason. That's a state finals rematch. You know, and they like us, have four of their five starters back, and they've got a kid in Ryan Tsitsikas who's already – he's a 6'9", but he's more of a small forward type. He's, you know, signed to go to Providence in the Big East, and they've got, you know, a couple other kids getting D1 looks. I don't want to speak ahead of where we might be or speak for anybody else, but I think the organizers, you know, they said let's preview what potentially could be the Class 1A state championship game again. You know, let's call it a rematch. Let's do whatever. But you know, it's certainly interesting from our vantage point. You know, and I'll put in a little plug here. I know he doesn't like me doing this, but I think it's unbelievable. And if we can win on Wednesday night against Pike, that would, you know, be Coach Hughes' opportunity to get his first crack at win number 500. So you know, that would have a special. You know, I know he doesn't care about it, but there's a lot of people, including myself, that do, because I just think that's an unbelievable accomplishment. And then, you know, in the Bossy shootout on December 20th, the Altoff Catholic team, just the same type of thing that we're going to see with Marquette. And one of the things that the IHSAA did is they added, you know, the idea that you can play 22 games instead of 20. And I know Coach Hughes was adamant, you know, let's get four games, you know, out of this. Because we had two contracts expiring too. Let's get four contracts that, you know, four games that can really prepare us for, you know, what we're going to see, you know, late in a tournament. Of course, you had Marquette Catholic, the state champion. You had Altoff Catholic, a power in Illinois. You know, and it's great to pick up the Jasper Wildcats again. It's been several years since we've been able to go down there and play, so Jasper is an addition to the schedule. And then we've got Evansville Harrison coming to Kavanaugh Court. So, you know, he was dead serious about picking up four really quality opponents. And you know, at the end of the season, the win-loss record may not be as good as it was last year, but certainly, you know, the competition has really, really been stepped up.
Yeah, Janers, you mentioned Jasper and Harrison. Yeah, I got to see both those two play the other night. You know, it was a fun game to watch. And, you know, the Harrison game, every time Jasper made a run, there was a Duncan. A Duncan there to end it for the Jasper Wildcats, because they just, that family has produced some great athletes, and they're fun to watch. But also,
yeah,
on January 17th, you've got Lagodi, you know, and that's always – And I used to work at WRZR, and funny thing was, we had so many people want to advertise on that game, we would have to do the junior varsity game as well, because if you're not there early, you're not getting in.
Yeah, and it's just part of the it's part of the DNA of this area. You know, it's not taught. It's latent in schools. I mean, the kids just pick up on it. And you know, I've got a second grade son, and you can, you know, say, Dane, hey, I hear you like the Lagodi Lions, and that'll be the worst reaction that you'll get out of that kid. And that's something that's ingrained in our kids early. And I know it definitely is on the flip side as well. It's just, you know, it's until you're here and you can see it, you know, it you know, you can't really explain it to anybody about what it means to be a part of that rivalry and how both schools have just consistently brought out the best in each other. But you know, you got a school like us that has 200 kids in our high school, and Lagodi a little bit bigger than us, you know, closer to 300, but you know, you can put 5,000 butts in 5,000 seats for a game, and that's you know, That's pretty remarkable, and you know, that's a game. You know, Coach Hughes always likes to say, when you get the schedule, you got the games that you circle, and Lagodi's the game that you circle first every year. Here's where it is, and you know, the Lions were down a little bit last year, had some injuries, had some other issues that were kind of beyond the control of Coach Mike Wagner, but it appears they've righted the ship. All reports indicated that they played very well in their scrimmage last week, and I think you're going to see a much improved Lagodi team under Coach Mike Hopkins.
You know, and the Bari Vikings, they play in the Blue Chip Conference. Who are some of the teams that you're looking to make noise in the conference, other than, of course, the favorites, Bari Vikings?
Yeah, I think Coach Rohr at South Knox has done an unbelievable job, you know, getting the Spartans, you know, getting that program back. They've had some success recently in the last 10 years, and I think they're going to be really, really solid. I'd look for them to be the favorite in their 2A sectional. North Knox had a stretch last year, one of their best teams in a decade. I think they had an 11 or a 12-game win streak. So North Knox will be solid. They were a 14 or 15-win team with virtually everybody coming back. And like I said earlier, the Wood Memorial Trojans are a team that, you know, I want you to remember that we had this conversation. A 7 or 8-win team last year, but they've got some pieces back, and they have some freshmen that, I was looking at their box score the other night against Princeton. They went to Princeton and beat the Tigers by 20 in a game that wasn't nearly as close as the final score indicated. Wood just dominated that game, and a couple of freshmen in the starting lineup that had, 24 or 26 points between them, and 17 or 18 rebounds between them, and talking to some people on their coaching staff felt like, they had freshman jitters. You know, that's how they played, and they weren't their normal selves. So, that's a team that's going to be really, really good, really, really fast as well. So there will be some nights, I think, with those three teams and then the Lions where, the conference is kind of on the uptick again.
And talking sectional, regional, I know you no one wants to look ahead from the sectional, but, in the sectional and the regional, who are some of the teams that you think will challenge Barry this year?
Yeah, the sectional-wise, it's back at Lagodi this year. Vincent Gervais, they've got some skilled kids back from last year. Of course, Lagodi, I look for them to be improved. North Davies is kind of a wild card right now, but they've got, I think, one of the best in the business, absolutely, on the sidelines with Coach Brent Dalrymple. But they're going to be a young team. They're going to be a work in progress as the season goes along. But without putting too much of a target on our back, I think you've got to clearly make us the favorites to win the sectional. Just with what we have returning and what everybody else has kind of graduated, then, I think that's a reasonable expectation. As far as the regional goes, I think those same Wood Memorial Trojans that I've talked about will be a factor there. I don't know if I would name them the section of the favorite of their sectional yet, but the early signs look good. There's some teams down in the Louisville area. Christian Academy of Indiana is a team that we played very closely this summer. Played, I believe, them and Evansville Harrison on the same day, and both games were a struggle. I think Harrison beat us in a close one, and we beat Christian Academy in a close one. They're big and physical and athletic. Rock Creek Academy is another team that's good from down in that area. Borden was a 1A state champion. Lanesville was actually a representative in the regional last year. They've got a lot of pieces back. So I would say those teams will have a say in what happens in the regional. But I think the regional will be much improved this year as well. Lots of turning players and there'll be some new faces that'll definitely make it very, very competitive.
And Mike, you said you coach some middle school basketball. What grade do you coach?
I coach the eighth grade.
Eighth grade, okay. I was just wondering because I've got an eighth grader at Jasper, and I know you're on our schedule. That's what I was just curious about.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another thing. The program that at Bar Eve is obviously in the next couple of years we're going to graduate when you graduate in Addison Wagler, and the next year Logan James, there's going to be some big holes to fill, but we have been pretty successful up and down the lines, and some good kids coming, and definitely they've got good people to learn from, watching the older guys play on Friday and Saturday night.
Okay, well, Mike, thanks for joining us. Hey, before we let you go, though, let everyone know where they can hear you and when your next broadcast is.
Well, we work for DLC Media. That's Dave Crooks. And I said David does an unbelievable job using all of his stations to, he's a big proponent of high school sports and getting as many people on the radio as possible. You know, Bar Eve, all of our boys and girls games are on the air. Washington, all of their boys and girls games are on the air. And even Coach K's old stomping grounds, WC, they get a piece of the pie. And they don't get all of their boys and girls games on the air, but they are broadcast several times. And at various times, we're on 95.9. We are, which is the general, WAMW, which is 107.9. There's 1580 AM. We're around the world. We're on streamed on a couple of different websites, 4starcountry.com and then WAMWAMFM.com. You know, it's just a big, you know, family of networks almost, or of stations that Dave has, and he puts them to work. And like I said, he's a big, big proponent of high school sports. And I know it's good for a lot of fans who can't get out to the games.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. And I'll tell you what, you know, when Coach K is at the game, please keep him under control.
Usually what we do, Joe, is we bring him up and we interview him. And essentially we just give him the mic and we walk away. And we just, you know, it's kind of like the guy in a karaoke bar. You know, he just kind of takes over and puts on the show after it's over. That's what happens with Coach K. We just let him take over and he runs the show, and the audience can't get enough.
That's right. He likes to talk. Thank God he doesn't get paid by the word on here. So
no, but you know, thanks for you guys for having me on, and we always enjoy listening to you guys.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hey, when we come back, we're going to check and see if Coach K is alive, if he's made it through his first game. And if not, we've got a Cody Zeller interview that I'd like to play with you. We had in the future, in the past. And we will be back on the Coach K and Joe Show right after this.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm not sure if Coach is with us or not. He might still be playing. Coach, are you with us? If not, it doesn't sound like he is. I'll tell you what. We had the pleasure of having Cody Zeller on last year, and we're going to play that best of audio clip for you right now. Here's Cody.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K. Ken Schulteis, and we're really very excited about our next guest. Our next guest does not need to explain who he is. He's Washington Hatchet great, Indiana Hoosier great, future NBA great, Cody Zeller. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Hey, Cody, this is Coach K. It's great to have you on the show. And as Joe just said, I think he's a Purdue fan. So for him to be so excited means something. Maybe having you on the show is going to bring him over from the dark side.
We can
only hope. It's great to have you. And you have been an outstanding player, All-American, All Big Ten, All Freshman, Big Ten Freshman Player of the Year, you name it, you've done it. And now you are beginning the next quest of your career, and that's a walk into the NBA. And before we talk about that, I'd just like to spend a few minutes talking to you about your time at IU and just ask you how that time went and what you've learned there. So, Cody, the first thing I would have to ask you is, when you got to the campus, And you started the basketball part of things and in the gym and being a part of the campus and seeing the program develop, from going from high school to IU, what was that feeling like to get on campus and already be, and I know you're a humble person, but already be the focus of IU basketball?
It was a little bit different, but you know, all my teammates and coaches did a nice job of of kind of bringing me along. I was I felt like a freshman at a lot of points, just felt lost. So there was, you know, trying to find classes or on the court, playing in the Big Ten. So I definitely didn't feel, you know, like I was the focal point at all. I felt like, you know, felt like a freshman at a lot of points. So, but luckily I had good teammates and coaches to kind of help me along.
We had a great freshman year, and the team had a great season. And being an IU grad myself, I was just so excited to see the growth and the comeback story all in one. It wasn't just a comeback, but it was a growth in the program itself. When you look at your freshman year and going through this year as a sophomore and as a team, you had to grow because the way you guys were looked at in your first year and then the target on your back in your sophomore year, it had to make it a totally different approach as far as who you were competing against. When you went into your sophomore season, could you tell the difference in how the teams approached not only IU but you in general defensively?
Yeah, definitely. It was, like you said, it was a whole different feel to the season, just because my freshman year is kind of, we were always the underdogs. Everyone was picking against us, and you know, this year everyone was, you know, flip the switch, and you know, everyone was picking for us, and you know, everyone, I think the biggest thing is everyone was preparing for us, even in the summer, preparing for me individually and preparing for the team, just because, you know, if you can upset, you know, number one Indiana and, you know, shut down, you know, Cody Zeller, then, you know, that changes the whole program for some of these guys, especially the coaches. You know, it could you know, propel their future as a coach. So, you know, we had a bullseye on our back the whole year, but, you know, we handled it fairly well just because, you know, we realized that we just had to prepare that much harder for every game.
Yeah, and the evolution in the season, it's always there. It's not just in the summertime and then you go play games and then you hope to improve. You're always evolving and improving and expanding your game, especially if you're going to be successful. You guys were number one ranked for many weeks. You did a great job in the Big Ten tournament. You did a great job in the Big Ten season. You go in the NCAA. But let me just ask you about from the early part of the season and then into Big Ten play. Early in the year, Cody Zeller shocked the world in how well he ran. Everybody knew you could run the floor, but I think you shocked so many people at how well you guys got out with the ball and how well you were consistent in sprinting the floor. As soon as the shot was rebounded, it came off, you were gone. You were down the floor. And I know that was part of the game plan, but as teams started to adjust to that, how did you have to adjust your game from going to that sprint out to now probably meeting physically somebody down every step, every inch of the floor you went, somebody banging you down the floor? How did you change and evolve during the season because of that?
Honestly, I didn't change anything that I've done. Even I think my, you know, how I was coaching in high school kind of developed how to run the floor just with my high school coach is big on that. I've run with all the guards and all of our conditioning drills in high school and college. So I've always run the floor really well. And, you know, if a team has the game plan for me running the floor, then, you know, that's going to, you know, take away from their other time they could be preparing for something else. So, you know, I just ran the floor hard, whether it was whether they were game planning for it or not. And, you know, if I could steal a few easy buckets here or there, then I would take the opportunity. But, you know, it's just a little extra thing that they have to prepare for and something that, you know, most teams that don't have to prepare for. So just a little extra dynamic.
Well, and you know what? How you answer that leads me into this next part of the question. It's a perfect segue, because they're focusing on you and because they're trying to stop you in some of those runouts and how you're getting down the floor. The other guys have to step up and they have opportunities to evolve. Were you surprised at how good Victor was this year? You were with him every day in practice, workouts, game situations going through last year and this year. Were you surprised at how he evolved and how his game expanded and basically rose to such a level?
Not at all. I mean, I like you said, I work with him every day, and his work ethic is one of the best on the team. And, you know, I wasn't surprised at all just because he had been doing that all summer last summer and, you know, in practice every day. And so I wasn't surprised. I think really our whole team worked well together. Me and Vic especially work well together just because, you know, we can – it's tough to guard both of us, especially in the pick and roll or things like that. So, you know, we open up a lot of things for each other.
Well, you know, you're very fortunate. You did have a great high school coach, Gene Miller, and I coached against him several times when I was coaching, and we had some battles. And you have a great family, great mom and dad, and two older brothers that have kind of led the way and shown you a direction. Now that you're getting ready to embark on what's sad for many IU fans, but we're happy for you going into the NBA and an opportunity to be a lottery first-round pick, when you talk to Luke, who had his time in the NBA most recently with the Phoenix Suns, and Tyler, who's with Cleveland. Cody, are they giving you any advice on what you need to be prepared for or how you need or what you need to expect as you make this next step towards the NBA?
Not so much. You know, nothing monumental as far as advice or anything like that, but all three of us are really close. And, you know, I talk to both of them, you know, a couple times each week. So, you know, I was asking a lot of questions throughout the season, through the ups and downs of the NBA season. So I feel like I'm more prepared for what's coming in the future for him. But, you know, every step from whether it's high school to college or college to NBA is a big step. And, you know, it's just one of those things you have to, you know, learn for yourself, experience for yourself, and, you know, try to get better from it. So I'm excited for the experience.
I think Joe's got a question right now.
All right.
Yeah, Cody, I'm real fast. I want to put you in a time machine, and I want to play you a little clip, and afterwards you can tell me how tall you were, first of all, at the time, and how excited you were, okay?
All right.
This is something Luke had never heard either before I played it for him.
State championship on the line here. Let's see what the Hatchets can do.
Okay. So let's see what they're going to do. They're going to put everybody down here. So they're going to let him run the floor. And it's going to go to Zeller. Zeller will let fly.
Got it! Oh, my God! He got it!
He got it! He got it! A three! He got it! Luke Zeller hit a three! And the Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! The Washington Hatchets win! That's an All-American! That was an All-American shot! Hatchets win! Hey! Hatchets! Hatchets!
Okay, Cody, that was from WRZR. That was the call of Luke's shot, and I just wanted to kind of get your feelings. Were you 6 foot yet at the time, or what?
I can't remember. I was in sixth grade. Luke is 6 years older than me, and I don't know how tall he was, but I was front row for it. It was, you know, one of the shots that'll live on in Indiana high school basketball history for a long time.
Well, and you would go on to win several state championships, so it's been a great run for the Zellers at Washington, and now you at IU, and now you're going into the NBA and into the draft process, and you're in workouts right now. Cody, have your workouts changed for you as far as what you're working to develop, how you're looking to expand your game as you prepare for the draft?
Not too much. You know, throughout the season and even now, you know, you're always working on your weaknesses. You know, try to improve on those, but also, you got to keep your strengths, as a strong point. So as the workouts come, we're still working with our strength and conditioning coach. Coach Crean has been working me out, so I feel like I'm very well prepared for what the workouts that I have coming up.
We had a question from one of our listeners, Cody. Craig Schneider wanted to know if adding a mid-range jumper will be part of the things that you will focus on expanding your game in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I shot, you know, I have a fairly good mid-range jumper. I use it a lot more in high school. This year I just didn't feel like it was the best for our team, just from a percentage wise, just because, you know, we have, you know, six guys who could easily score 20 points on any given night. So with so much offensive power that we had this year, I didn't feel like I needed to use it as much. But, you know, it's just but yeah, I'm definitely working on it more, and you know, definitely I'll need that at the next level.
And when you think about your time at IU and the school year is going to be coming to an end, and you may probably continue some classes and get your graduate degree at some point, but what are you going to remember most about being a Hoosier going to Indiana University?
Probably playing at Assembly Hall. You know, we had some unbelievable games, obviously the Kentucky game, but also, you know, so many night in and night out, whether we were playing, you know, Kentucky or a non-conference game, it was always a loud atmosphere. And, you know, it's so easy to play hard in those games just because you got so much adrenaline from the crowd. And, you know, you don't see as much of that in the NBA. So it's definitely one of the things that I'm going to miss and one of the things that I'll remember for a long time.
Okay, Cody.
Yeah, Joe, you got. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, yeah, we have yet one more question here. Our question and a comment. It's from Luke Holes. He's originally from Jasper. He's up near Nashville, Indiana, right now. And his comment was, "Great pick for an interview. First of all, thanks for choosing IU. I enjoyed watching you play. Good luck in the NBA." Question is, did you enjoy your opportunity at IU, and would you choose IU again if you had the chance to do it all over again? I think I probably know the answer to this after the last comment. So,
yeah, I would in a heartbeat. You know, I when I made my decision, I had high expectations for Indiana on and off the basketball court with you know, the Kelly School business and then everything that Coach Crane and the players had here, but. My experience over the past 2 years has been everything I expected plus more. So there's never a day that goes by that I regret it. And, you know, I'll always consider myself a Hoosier.
Cody, you know, do you have, I mean, you're still a young guy and you're a sophomore in college and you're ready to take this next step. Is there anything, any apprehension? I mean, I got to believe, I don't want to say I got to believe. Is there any apprehensions, any concerns that you have about taking the next step in your journey?
I mean, there's a lot of unexpected things, you know, unknowns that are coming. You know, as far as, you know, I have no clue what city I'm going to. You know, a lot of stuff like that. But you know, I'm excited for the experience. You know, I've dreamed of playing in the NBA for my whole life, and. You know, I've had a great 2 years here at Indiana, and you know, I'm definitely excited for what's coming. And you know, it's a lot of people would love to be in my shoes, so I'm definitely very thankful for everything that I've been given.
Well, last question, Cody. You've been in the spotlight a long time, from the time your family got into Washington, Indiana, which is a crazy basketball town and state, to going up to IU. You know, a lot of people grow up and want to be in the spotlight or wonder what it's like to be in the spotlight. What have you learned in your short life and your young, you know, you're starting to reach that adulthood period. What have you learned about being in the spotlight?
It has its perks. You know, it's good and bad in a lot of different ways. You know, you're the one that's going to be criticized for a team losing, but you're the one that gets the praise for when the team wins. So the biggest thing that I do is I just ignore all the media, just because the media is so up and down with, you know, one day you're a hero and one day, you know, you shouldn't be starting. So You know, if you follow the media, it's just such a roller coaster. So I just try to ignore it all and just stay, level-headed, try to ignore the praise, ignore the criticism, and just stay on a level path. And it's been working out for me so far.
Yeah, I love that answer. It really is about the peaks and valleys in life, period. We've got a couple minutes left, and I know your family has appreciated all the blessings and support you guys have had. And you and your family have something that's very close to you. You started it. It's Distinction Camps. It's a program that your family's involved in. And these last couple minutes, Cody, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Distinction Camps?
Yeah, so it's Distinction with an X. You know, you can get on the website at distinction.org. It's a company that Luke originally started, but the whole family is kind of on board with it now. But we do Christian basketball camps around the state and even in Ohio and some of the other states throughout the summer. But, you know, we've had so many great people that have helped us get to where we're at now. And we just like to give back to the kids. You know, like I said, it's Christian basketball camps, but we also teach, the values that all three of us have grown up by. And, it's a great program, and, we're excited to interact with the kids this summer.
And you and Tyler and, you now for sure, and Luke and Tyler are all a part of it and on-site and involved with the kids.
Yeah, we try to make it to as many as we can, obviously. All three of us are very busy, but we try to make it to whichever ones we can. And it's always fun to interact with the kids.
No, that's awesome, and you appreciate, again, I can tell as a family, you guys have appreciated your journeys so far in your lives and the blessings you've received, and I know that so much more is going to happen for all of you, from Luke to Tyler and now you as you move forward in the NBA. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, Cody, and we ask our listeners to make sure that if you got a young son, daughter that want to be involved in a great camp that's got great values involved, go to Distinction and check it out and be a part of what Tyler and Luke and Cody are doing and giving back to the young people. So, Cody, once again, thanks a lot for being with us and continued success and blessings as you move forward to the next level in the NBA.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles. Cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment?
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. Don't know if Coach is with us or not. Coach, are you with us? Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to abbreviate this show today. Coach is busy playing basketball, and we're out of gas. So I'll tell you what. For Coach K and Joe, I want to wish all of you a Giving, and also want to end this show with the comment I always give: go out to a high school basketball game, a wrestling match, swim meet. For the money you're going to spend, you're never going to have a better value. For Coach K, this is Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes,
Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
See you next week.